بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The fifth benefit from the hadith: إنما الأعمال بالنيات. The reward of deeds depend upon the intentions. Is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم associated in the hadith the reference to him and to Allah by using the article in Arabic which is called waw, and it means end, when he said when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said then his migration is for Allah and his messenger. He didn't say thumma rasul, then his messenger. He said Allah and his messenger. Yet we know that is the hadith, his migration was for Allah and his messenger. He didn't say his migration was for Allah, then his messenger, thumma rasuluh. Yet we know that a man, when a man said to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, ma sha Allahu wa shi'ta, whatever Allah willed and you, and he used the term and, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to that man by saying bal ما شاء الله وحده, rather say what Allah willed alone. So what's the difference? The answer: whatever is related to the legislative matters, then it is stated with the article and, with the article waw, which means end. Because whatever comes from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to the Sharia, it is the same as becoming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidence for this is in the saying in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 80, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. This is pertaining to the legislative matters. However, with respect to the kawni matters, to the universal matters, then it is not permissible to associate anyone with Allah by using the term and, because everything is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing escapes him. So if someone now says, is it going to rain tomorrow? If your answer becomes like this, Allah and his messenger knows best, then this is wrong, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has no knowledge of this matter. The knowledge of this matter rests only with Allah. However, on the other hand, if someone asks you, is this lawful or unlawful? And if your answer was, Allah and his messenger knows best, then this is correct, because the ruling of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the legislative matters is the same as the ruling of Allah, as evident in the verse 80, which you see it up there. He who obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. This is the fifth benefit. Now comes a question. Which is more meritorious or better? Knowledge or jihad in the cause of Allah? The answer. Knowledge, in essence, is better than the jihad in the cause of Allah. Because people, all people, they need knowledge. And Imam Ahmad, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, Al-ilmu la ya'diluhu shay' liman saluhat aw liman sahhat niyyatuhu. There is nothing that can equate with knowledge for the one whose niyyah is correct, whose intention is correct. And jihad could never be an individual obligation. Due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, meaning on every individual, due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah 9:122, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. And it is not proper for the believers to go out to fight jihad all together. Had it been therefore an individual duty on all Muslims, then how can we answer the statement there in the verse of every troop of them a party only should go forth? So there is a party that's going to sit for what? They are left behind that they may get instructions in Islamic religion, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, to gain knowledge in religion, and that they may warn their people, وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ, when they return to them so that they be aware, etc. However, the situation differs with respect to the doer and with respect to the timing. So we may say to a certain person, it is better for you to perform the jihad. And we may say to the other, it is best for you to seek the knowledge. So if the person is a brave, strong, active, and not that much in terms of intelligence, then it is better for him to perform the jihad. This would be more fitting. However, if he is qualified with a strong intelligence and good memory, strong in evidence, then it is better for him to seek the knowledge. So this is in relevance to the doer. As to the relevance to the timing, if we are in a time where there is abundance of scholars and the borders of the Muslim Ummah needs those watchers, then in that sense it is better, the jihad is better. Yet if we are in a timing where there is dissemination of ignorance and innovations begin to appear in the society and dissipate, then in this case knowledge is better. And there are now three matters that demand the seeking of knowledge. There are three matters that demand the seeking of knowledge. And these are when the evil of innovation sprouts, and when people make ifta without knowledge, make fatwa without knowledge, and when there is so much argumentation regarding the matters of knowledge. So therefore, under these circumstances, it's inevitable to seek the knowledge. Now to the sixth benefit. From the benefits of this hadith is that migration is from the righteous deeds, because Allah and His Messenger are sought, and every action behind which Allah and His Messenger are sought, then it is from the righteous deeds, because they are means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is worship. Question: is immigration obligatory or recommended? The answer, there is tafsil, there is details. The matter has to be detailed. In the sense that, if the person is able to manifest his deen openly, not opposed in that, no one opposing him in that, then in this sense, immigration is recommended. And if he, on the other hand, is unable to manifest, his deen, his religion, then the hijra, the migration, is obligatory. This is the criteria, therefore, between obligation and recommendation. So this is relevant to the kafir land, to the non-believer land. As far as the lands where there is sinful deeds present and apparent and declared, then we say, if the person fears for himself that he may be inclined to do these acts that affected the people in this particular place, in this case the migration is obligatory, otherwise it is not. To the contrary, we may say that if there is reform, anticipated reform in his stay, then in this sense his stay is obligatory because of the need of that land, the need for correction, the need for ordering, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And it is strange that some of them leave and migrate the land of Islam to the land of Kufr. And if people leave, the people of correct reform leave such lands, who is going to stay for the corrupt people to face them? And the lands may even decline due to the lack of the people, the lack of the presence of the people of goodness, being outnumbered by those of fasad, of vice and evil. So if he stays and then calls for Allah to the best of his ability, then in this case he may correct others, and others correcting others, leading to the correction of the land. And if the majority of people are reformed, meaning religiously, then it is also that it is likely that the one in authority may be corrected himself, even by way of pressure. But unfortunately, it is those righteous themselves who divide amongst themselves and resort to partisan, and their words differ due to some differences regarding certain matters from the deen, whereby the difference in these matters should be tolerable. This is really real, especially in the lands where Islam is not firmly established. You see them sometimes fighting at enmity and compete for in division rather certain matters, for example, like raising the hands during the salah. And I can tell you of a story that I personally witnessed. The Shaykh rahimahullah said in Mina is one of the places of Hajj, on one day the head of the Da'wah educational program in Mina brought me two groups from Africa, each one declaring the other as kafir. And you know what? Upon what? Due to what? One of the groups saying that the sunnah, after standing up from ruku', is that the person in prayers put his hands on his chest. And the other group says that the sunnah is to leave them relaxed, extended. And this is a subsidiary matter, easy. It's not from the fundamentals. So they said no. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. And this is in Bukhari. And this is kufr, this is disbelief. This corrupt misunderstanding. One group ended up declaring the other as kafir in such a matter which is subsidiary, and this is a tolerable difference. So what matters here is that some of the people who are trying to reform in some lands where Islam is not established and strong may resort to declaring each other as innovators and wicked and so forth, you know, on matters which could be absorbed, yani, and tolerable. However, if they would agree, and if they differ, then their chests are vast to absorb this permissible type of difference, and then they would be on like one hand, then the ummah will be corrected. However, when the ummah sees that this is occurring to the people of righteousness, that enmity and disagreement and dispute taking place in these matters of deen, then the ummah will turn away from them and from the good that they have. Rather, people may even turn away from the religion due to that. And this really occurred. We seek refuge in Allah from this. You see, the young man entering the fold of istiqamah, of righteousness, that the religion is good and guidance and opening of the chest and a tranquil heart, then he sees what he sees from the actions of disputes between those who are on righteousness, very intense and so forth, and enmity between them. So he leaves uprightness. He sees that he didn't find what he sought. And to wrap it up, the immigration from the land of Kufr is not like the immigration from the land of Fisq, where sinful or sins are spread. So in that sense we say to the person, isbir, persevere, and seek, anticipate the reward from Allah, especially if you are trying to correct. Rather, it may be said that the immigration in your situation may be unlawful for you to leave. This brings the end of the discussion of the first hadith, and Allah the Most High knows best. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll start the second hadith in the book of Imam al-Nawawi, Al-Arba'un al-Nawawi, the fourth hadith, as explained by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. وجزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.